In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. From inexact speech springs heresy. And so we speak about the Trinity precisely. We love Him. When you love something, you want to learn about it. If you love baseball, you learn the game. You learn the players, perhaps even some of their own interests, not to mention the stats and details behind the game. If you love your country, you will learn about your country, why things are the way they are that makes it different from others. If you love someone, you will learn about them, who they are, what makes them tick, what gets them out of the bed in the morning. So if you do not ponder the mystery of the Trinity, then do you actually love God? This discussion of the Trinity is not for the academics, but anyone who would consider himself a Christian must make use of it, train himself by it, so he knows who God is, how to call upon God, and how to confess God. Childlike faith does not mean we remain children in our knowledge. It is the devil who wants to keep us infantile in our knowledge so that he himself may gain a foothold in our hearts. It is the devil who says, those details are for the academics. I believe in Jesus. That is good enough. But do not forget that Jesus says, I reveal the Father and I send the Holy Spirit. So if you know Jesus, you must also know the Father. And you must also know the Spirit. What is the relationship of the three? Who are they? God is one who does not change. The God of creation is the God who will come on the last day. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The God who destroyed the nations is the God who redeems the nations. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. One God, not three gods. One Lord, not three lords. One Creator, not three creators. Jesus says the same in the New. I and the Father are one. One divine essence, not three. And yet within this one divine essence, there are three persons. A person is that which subsists by itself, a self-will, and self-consciousness. This is clearly stated in the New Testament. Go and baptize all nations in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And yet it's also there in the Old Testament, for God is not one who changes. Remember Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. The Spirit hovered over the face of the waters, and the Word was present, through whom all things were made. Three persons, one God. The three persons are not three different parts of God. Neither is it like an actor who changes his costume. The three persons are all fully God, and yet they are distinct. The Father does not receive his divinity from the Son or the Spirit, but the Son is begotten of the Father alone, and the Spirit does proceed from the Father and the Son. Unlike our births, which happen at one moment in time, the begetting and the processing are always a constant reality. The Son never stops being begotten, and the Spirit never stops proceeding from the Son and the Father. And yet within this Trinitarian mystery, none comes before and none comes after. None is greater, none is inferior. But the three persons are one God, equal in majesty, glory, honor, and might. This Trinitarian mystery is revealed to us in a small sliver in creation. God is the God who creates, because God is a God of life. Through water all things were created, writes St. Peter. The world was formed out of water and by water, so without water, life cannot exist. Without water, there is only dry, dusty desert where life cannot flourish, a wilderness, desolation that leads to death. How long can you survive without water? Water is necessary for life, and so God reveals himself through water as the God who gives life. When God adds water to dry, dusty ground, life begins to flourish, animals flourish. Creation points to God. But this natural knowledge of God is not enough for us to fully know God or his salvation. Those who use nature as the chief way that they will know God will end up far apart from the Trinity. A different water is needed, a water that flowed from the side of the Son of God. He reveals the heart of God by opening up his side, pouring out blood and water so life might be given to all nations. God is a God of life, and he seeks to restore us back to that life that he had created, back to the image and likeness of God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loved the world in this way that he gave his Son. The Father does not take on human flesh, nor does he bear our sins. The Spirit does not suffer and die on the cross. Only the Son of God does. Only the Son of God is lifted up. As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, so was the Son of God lifted up so that life might be found in his name. And through that cross, he reveals the love of the Father who would give his only begotten. Usually when we hear serpent in Bible, we think of the devil. Rightly so. Genesis 3, the fall into sin, the great dragon who is found throughout Scripture. But Jesus says Moses lifting up the serpent on that pole is a picture of his crucifixion. Jesus becomes the very embodiment of evil and wickedness, not by what he does, of course, but by what he took on. Jesus identifies with us so closely that when the Father looks at him, he sees the greatest sinner in the history of the world. And so pours out all wrath and anger and judgment on him. By his wounds, we are healed. Soaring trees and ocean sunsets have their place. But none can compare to the beauty of this baptismal water flowing from the side of Christ. Through this water, God brings life into existence. Your dry, dusty corpse was regenerated. Your captive soul was set free and united to God himself. Your stony heart ripped out and a new heart given that loves God and seeks to carry out his commands. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Sinners give birth to sinners. Those condemned to die give birth to those condemned to die. But the Spirit gives birth to Spirit through water. A new birth. Children of the Father, redeemed by the Son, sanctified to be God's holy temples through water. Through water you come to know the most blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So as I said, this discussion of the Trinity is not for the academics. But it is for the Christian, because through water, the Trinity works for your salvation. Jesus himself stands in those waters to cleanse the nations. The Spirit comes down to sanctify you, to make you holy and righteous so that you too might be called a saint of God without sin because of the merits of Christ. And the Father himself declares that you are his beloved Son with whom he is well pleased. Because as closely as Christ identified with you in his suffering, so you now identify with him through faith. All that Jesus is, so you now are. You are a child of God and an heir of eternal things. The Father loves you and works all things out for your good so that you might have his inheritance, heaven. The Trinity is our family. The Trinity is where we belong. The Trinity is the God who has created all things and who is the hope and the salvation of all people. So go into the world and baptize all nations, so all nations might have this new water of life. Simply put, to know the Trinity is to know the gospel. So if you care not about the details of the Trinity, or chalk it up simply to an academic discussion, then you are beginning to turn your back on the gospel itself. Do not marvel at that. Creation is an act of God. Baptism also is an act of God. At creation, the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. At your baptism, the Spirit hovered over those waters to give you life, to give you order and purpose for this life. Sin is forgiven, death is drowned, and life is bestowed. The new creation began in you already through those waters. What has God failed to give you? What sin has the Son failed to take away? What spot within your body or soul has the Spirit failed to sanctify? All through water. You have a Father, a loving, omnipotent, gracious, eternal Father who does not change and calls you his own. You have a brother, a loving, omnipotent, gracious brother who stands at God's right hand to intercede for you. You have a comforter, a loving, gracious, omnipotent spirit who seeks to make your body and soul his eternal temple. This triune God is found in water so that we might reap the benefits of his salvation and know the Trinity as our family. So let us not be sloppy in our speech, but search the scriptures to rightly speak about God insofar as he has spoken to us. Let us not be careless, but careful, not flippant, but diligent, not infantile, infants in faith, mature in knowledge. Let us love God and seek to learn of him, even as he loves us. For we are washed into the name of this triune God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.